Thank you, First Baptist Maysville, for your hospitality this morning and for the privilege of coming and opening God's Word with you. And as we just sang the words of that song, there are so many stories of Jesus in Scripture that we can spend our time looking at his teachings and looking at his miracles and just in awe of who he is and the depth of his love for us. And so this morning I have the opportunity to bring one of those stories to you. But before we get started, let me just take care of a couple of items. First, a couple of assumptions. I'm going to assume this morning that in a group this size, gathered in this place, that there may be someone who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That you've never asked him into your heart, you've never asked him to forgive you of your sins, and placed him on the throne as Lord and Master of your life. And if that's you, before the end of the service this morning, you're going to have the opportunity to make that decision. As we talk this morning about physical blindness, the physical blindness of the man Bartimaeus, may it remind us that we were all once spiritually blind. Our eyes, our spiritual eyes, were closed to the truth of who Jesus was. But at some point in time, hopefully each of us have made that decision to turn to Christ as our healer, as our Savior, and as our Lord. And maybe for you, that opportunity will be this morning. A second assumption I'm going to make is that this idea of following Christ is a daily challenge for each of us. We're going to see in Bartimaeus' story that he chooses to follow Jesus, just as you, if you call yourself a Christ follower, you have chosen to follow Jesus. And yet that is something that we must choose to do each and every day. In every decision that we make, in every thought that we think, every word that we speak, everything that we see, that all would be done for his honor and glory. As Pastor Greg mentioned, you'll see in your bulletin an insert, and on the front side, there's, if you like filling in the blanks, you're gonna have your opportunity this morning, okay? It's gonna come to you in a plenty. And so hopefully, I think the guy working the projector, he'll be able to kind of follow along and keep up with where I'm at in the presentation. And I believe in bribery, especially when it comes to teenagers and children. So teens and kids, if you are faithful to fill out those sermon notes the best that you can, and you see me after the service, I will reward you with some Smarties. Because you are a Smartie if you can fill out that paper. If you can stay up with me and you can complete that task, you deserve to be rewarded. And if you don't, then I deserve to take these home and eat them all by myself, which I could probably do. So that is an opportunity for you. You'll also notice on the back side of that same paper, in the middle section, there's something entitled Daily Follow-Up Assignments. The story that I'm going to share to you from Mark chapter 10 this morning is also recorded in Luke chapter 18 and Matthew chapter 20. So I encourage you to spend some time this week with these follow-up activities. You know, as a person sitting in the pew, it always bothers me. I feel guilty when I go to church 1 week and I come back the following week and I have a hard time remembering what it was that the preacher, who I know was great, I mean, he was an awesome preacher, I have a hard time remembering what it was that he preached on. And part of that, the biggest part of that, is my fault as that person sitting in the pew, because I don't spend time the next week continuing to ponder and continuing to think upon the word and the scripture that have been brought to me. And so there's some things that you can do throughout this week to keep that word fresh, because I believe that God may speak more to you as you leave this place and as you spend time this week in your Bible and you look at verses and you continue to consider how God wants to minister to you. He may speak more to you through that than he will through me in the next 30 minutes. I never know, and you don't know, but I hope that you will take that challenge. So if you would, as we begin this morning, I want you to just begin by closing your eyes. Just Just everybody close your eyes. If you can, recall from your memory the last sunrise or sunset that you witnessed. Think about the face of the person whom you love most. Consider the last words of a book or a newspaper or a magazine or a digital resource that you read. Think about the last smile that you saw. Now imagine, if you can, what life would be like without memories such as these. A life in which you had no vision. A life of physical blindness. Okay, you can open your eyes. It's always dangerous to ask the congregation to close their eyes on Sunday morning for too long, right? Yes. You're going to notice some pictures on these next couple of slides, and I'd like you to consider what these individuals have in common. And Pastor Greg's already alluded to some of this as we think about these individuals. Fanny Crosby, the writer of over 9,000 hymns, who became blind at 6 weeks of age due to damage in the optic nerves in her eyes. Ray Charles, the pioneer of soul music, became blind as a child due to glaucoma. Helen Keller, who became a disability rights advocate. She lost her sight and hearing after a bout of illness at the age of 19 months old. Ken Miedema, Christian musician and songwriter who was born nearly blind, only able to distinguish light from shadow and to see outlines of major objects. William Walford, a blind preacher and hymn writer. And David Patterson, a politician and 55th governor of the state of New York, who became the first legally blind person to be sworn in as a governor of a U.S. state. All of these individuals lived a life of physical blindness. Today's message takes us to an account of a blind man in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Mark chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse 46 and read through verse 52. If you would, I'd like you to just stand with me as I read aloud for us God's word this morning. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard, and so my reading might be a little bit different than your version. Beginning in verse 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him here.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take courage, arise, he is calling for you.' And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, I want to regain my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the way." Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray that in these few minutes that we have together, that you, through the work of your Spirit, would lead us to the truth that you would have us to hear this morning. Father, minister to our hearts as only you can. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. May we see the wonder and the splendor of your love. May we see the spiritual condition of blindness from which you called us. And may we recommit ourselves to follow you faithfully along the way. It's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. While we recognize the remarkable contributions of those that we saw in those pictures who were visually impaired, and yet how God worked through their physical limitations, the point of this morning's message is this. God desires to give sight to the spiritually blind so that they may see him as Savior and as Lord. God's greatest desire is that the blind would see, that those that are spiritually blind, that their eyes would be opened, and that they would recognize him as being Savior and as Lord. As we get into the text this morning, let's begin by establishing the location of this miracle. Verse 46 of chapter 10 says that they came to Jericho, located in the wide plain where the Jordan Valley broadens to the west of the Moab Mountains. Jericho is located approximately 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. We remember this ancient city as being the first conquest for the children of Israel as they were freed from slavery in Egypt and they entered the Promised Land. Remember, the walls of Jericho had to go tumbling down. Jericho was also the hometown of that wee little man named Zacchaeus, who had to climb a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. The road to Jericho and between Jericho and Jerusalem was the setting of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And as they were going out from this city, Jesus and that multitude, that crowd that followed him, Jesus had a very brief conversation with this man, Bartimaeus. Bar, which means the son of, Timaeus, which means unclean. Reading again in verse 46, it says, and they came to Jericho. And as he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. So we begin by looking at the condition of Bartimaeus. The condition of Bartimaeus, it's very apparent. First, we see that he was blind. The passage does not give us a lot of detail about the history of his blindness. In verse 51, it says that Bartimaeus stated that he wanted to regain his sight, implying that at one time he must have been able to see. Perhaps he had sickness as a child and lost his vision, or perhaps this was a progressive condition that evolved over time and led to his complete blindness later in life. Whatever the case, Bartimaeus was blind. His physical need was great. We also see that he was a beggar. Being blind meant that he had no vocation. He had no job. He had no way to earn or to provide resources for his own livelihood. And again, Scripture doesn't tell us if he had a family, if he had parents who continued to support him, or if he simply lived on the streets as a beggar. But we know this, his life would have been a life of one in which he relied completely on the compassion and the generosity of others who would walk by, who might possibly help in meeting his basic needs. He was a beggar. And last, we see that he was sitting by the road. Beggars would position themselves on roadways where there was a lot of foot traffic, where they could best call out for the help that they needed. He likely frequented this spot where perhaps the people even began to know him, maybe by name. So here he is, Bartimaeus, a man with a great physical need, being a blind beggar, sitting on the road outside of Jericho. So what might be our takeaway from this man's condition? Don't become complacent with your condition or your faith. Don't become complacent with your condition or your faith. You came here this morning in a certain condition. You may be facing challenges. You may be enduring hardships. You may be facing frustrations and temptations. We all have a condition. But are we content in the condition that we are in? Prior to hearing that Jesus was traveling this road between Jericho and Jerusalem, Bartimaeus may have seen little hope for a healing that day. He probably just wanted to survive his condition. He just wanted to make it through another day. But God had a better plan. It is so easy for us to become comfortable and complacent in our condition, in our sin, and sometimes even in our faith. Continue to pursue God's plan and God's glory in every situation that you face, both the physical and the spiritual. Next, we consider the cry of Bartimaeus. Verse 47 begins, and when he, Bartimaeus, heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus! Jesus!" Bartimaeus called him by name. Undoubtedly, this blind man had heard the reputation of this man from Nazareth, the son of a carpenter who was a renowned teacher and a healer. And Bartimaeus, he desperately wanted this man's attention. And so he cried out, "Jesus!" But you notice in verse 47, he continues, "Son of David." This title in reference to Jesus is significant because it was foretold by the prophets. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 say, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." That passage in Isaiah points the reader beyond David to the one who would come from his stem or from his lineage. We see this fulfilled in Christ, as stated in Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. So while the crowd, while the multitudes may have recognized Jesus as the Nazarene, the blind man was confident that this man was the son of David, the promised Messiah, the deliverer of the nation, and perhaps the one that could bring him out of his life of blindness. So Bartimaeus cried out, "Jesus, Son of David." And as we see a little bit later in verse 51, he referred to Jesus as Rabboni, an emphatic form of the word rabbi. It means my teacher, my master. It was used in reference to the high rabbi, the top religious leader in Judaism. This blind beggar, apparently uneducated, demonstrated the great understanding of the truth of Jesus' identity. He was Jesus, the son of David, Rabboni. We too must know the source of our hope and our salvation. We must know the source of our hope and our salvation. Recognizing that as sinners, we are all spiritually blind and separated from God, the only path that can restore our spiritual vision is the path that goes through Jesus Christ. For Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as emphasized in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Just as Bartimaeus was only going to find his sight, his physical sight, through the healing touch of Jesus, so too the spiritually blind are restored only through the Messiah. We must know the source of our hope and our salvation. Continuing in verse 48, we read, But he, Bartimaeus, kept crying all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And in verse 50, and casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. In these verses, we see the confidence of Bartimaeus. He began by casting aside his cloak. In a world of darkness and uncertainty, it is likely that the blind man's cloak became his security blanket. He probably used this as it sat in front of him on the road and became a makeshift container for the coins that passerbys might throw to him. To part with his cloak would have been unheard of. And yet in verse 50, it says the Bartimaeus cast his cloak aside at the call of Jesus. Next, we read that he jumped up. With the noise of the crowd swelling with each approaching step that Jesus took toward them, we can't imagine that Bartimaeus would know where to go once he got on his feet. But he was ready to meet his Jesus. He was ready to meet this Son of David. And in this passage, we see that in his confidence, Bartimaeus specified his desire. He specified his desire. In fact, there were two requests that he voiced. Even before the conversation with Jesus, Bartimaeus cried out, Have mercy on me, in verse 48. The Greek word for mercy is eleo, which means to have compassion, to have pity. For those passing by, to be merciful to this blind beggar may have required nothing more than them throwing him a coin or two. But when Bartimaeus asked Jesus to be merciful, he had more in mind than a coin. God's mercy extends to our every need. And in the case of the blind man, God was going to show mercy that far exceeded even the restoration of his physical sight. When Jesus asked in verse 51, What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus was quick to respond, I want to regain my sight. The blind man had confidence that Jesus, the Son of David, Rabboni, his teacher and his master, was able to meet his greatest need. We too must recognize our spiritual blindness and respond to the one who gives perfect sight. We must recognize our spiritual blindness, our spiritual separation from God, and respond to the one who gives perfect sight. The presence of sin in our lives has left us separated from the God who created us and the God who loves us. Recognizing our condition, we must respond. We must answer that call for salvation For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. And Romans 10:13 reminds us that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It is possible to know of our condition and to know of our cure and yet never receive it. I think of a person who may be so sick that they go to the doctor. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not like doctors. For me to go to the doctor is a great admission that I must be sick, because otherwise I will not go. It's possible for me to go to that doctor and to place my faith, my confidence in them, that they are educated, that they have skill, and that they can diagnose what is wrong with me. And upon that diagnosis, they will make a prescription. They'll say, "Hey, this is what you need to do. You need to go to this pharmacist, and they're going to give you this bottle of pills. And you need to follow directions, and you need to take the pill." I can recognize my need. I can even have my need diagnosed and the prescription offered. But I don't begin to heal until I open the bottle and I take the pill. You know, unfortunately, we live in a culture that there are many who claim to know Christ. There are many who claim to be Christian. And yet, what does that really look like? What does that even mean to them? It may mean that they know that Christmas, December 25th, is about the birth of Jesus. And that they know sometime in March or April that we celebrate Easter, and that's about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And they went to vacation Bible school when they were a kid, and maybe they grew up going to camp as a youth, and they have the head knowledge, but they don't have it in their heart. They've not taken the pill. We must recognize our spiritual blindness, our need, and respond to the only one who can meet that need. Again, reading from Mark 10:52, and Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Here we see the cure of Bartimaeus. The cure of Bartimaeus. As Jesus tells him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Bartimaeus was healed that day, not because he deserved it, not because he coincidentally happened to be in the right place at the right time. He was healed because he had faith in the one who could heal, the only one that could heal. And the scripture says that immediately the blind man received his sight. This passage in Mark does not indicate that Jesus touched Bartimaeus, nor did he instruct Bartimaeus to do any specific acts in order to receive his healing. It was Bartimaeus's faith that led to his immediate and his complete healing. And while Jesus encouraged him, told him, "Bartimaeus, go on your way," instead, Bartimaeus began following Jesus on the road. Bartimaeus began following Jesus on the road. Overwhelmed by the mercy that was shown to him by the Son of David, Bartimaeus saw no choice. He saw no choice but to follow the Messiah. And he did so with a heart of gratitude. As Luke's account of this story in Luke 18:43 says, following him, speaking of Bartimaeus, following him, glorifying God. To glorify in this context means to praise, to magnify, to celebrate. And I think that day, as Bartimaeus celebrated, he wasn't celebrating just his physical healing. He was celebrating that encounter, that he had with the Messiah. As you consider all that the Lord has done in your life, how he has turned your spiritual blindness into sight, will you choose to follow him in the way? Will you choose to follow him in the way? The call that Jesus made to his first disciples is the same call that he makes to us today. Come, follow me. However, Matthew 16:24 makes it clear that to follow him, sacrifice must be made. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Perhaps the greater challenge in our culture today is not that we cannot see our need for a Savior. Recognizing that we have sin is probably easy. Acknowledging that Jesus is the solution to that problem may not be difficult, but the greater obstacle is realizing that the life of the Christ follower is to be a life of daily surrender, a life of daily dying to self, a life of forsaking all others so that we can follow our Messiah, so that we can follow our Master with sincerity, which means a single-mindedness of heart. John Wilbur Chapman, who was an American evangelist and pastor in the late 19th century, said it this way: "The rule that governs my life is this: anything that dims my vision of Christ, or takes away my taste for Bible study, or cramps my prayer life, or makes Christian work difficult, is wrong for me. And I must, as a Christian, turn away from it." Will you choose to follow him in the way? Will you receive that gift of salvation? Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." The faith that was demonstrated by that blind man, Bartimaeus. So we have seen the condition of Bartimaeus, the cry of Bartimaeus, the confidence of Bartimaeus, and the cure of Bartimaeus. But as we wrap up this study from Mark 10, let's consider the crowd's behavior toward Bartimaeus. We begin in verse 48, and many were sternly telling him to be quiet. The crowd may have been used to the cries and the begging of Bartimaeus. And while they may have been accustomed to it and maybe even grown numb to it, they were not going to let this blind man cast a negative impression upon their town, nor to distract the attention of Jesus as he was coming through. Their first response to the beggar was simply, "Be quiet. Shh. Be quiet." However, once Jesus acknowledged the presence of the blind man and called for him, verse 49 says that the multitude, the crowd, called the blind man, saying, "Take courage, arise, he is calling for you." The crowd quickly moved from silencing Bartimaeus to encouraging him to stand up and go to Jesus. How Jesus could have even heard Bartimaeus' cry in such a large crowd, we do not know. But this is certain: Bartimaeus and Jesus were scheduled for a divine appointment that day, and no crowd was going to prevent it. A final response of the crowd is seen in Luke's account of the story, where in Luke 18:43, it says, "And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God." When all the people saw it, Bartimaeus' obedience, his healing, his faithfulness to follow Jesus resulted in all the crowd giving praise to God. Those who once tried to silence the cries now shouted themselves in celebration. May we encourage the lost with the good news. May we encourage the lost with the good news. Far be it from us to assume that any person, any man, woman, boy or girl, black or white, rich or poor, whole or broken, that anyone would be beyond the reach of our loving Savior. My name is Bartimaeus. No one cares if I live or die. All day long, I just sit here begging while the people, they walk on by. But today, I heard them whispering. They said Jesus was passing through. Oh, I've heard that he healed the blind man. And I wonder, could it be true? Now he's coming closer. Would he hear a blind man's cry? It is now or it is never. I may not make it, but I must try. Jesus, living Savior, King of glory, thou Son of David. One touch, it's all I need to make my eyes see. Lord, please heal me. Wait, what's that I'm feeling now? Someone's hand is on my brow, and I feel power. And now he speaks to me, says I am free, and I can see. Jesus, living Savior, King of glory, thou Son of David. One touch made my eyes see, gave new life to me. I must tell somebody, tell somebody, tell somebody. One touch made my eyes see, gave new life to me. I must tell somebody. One touch made my eyes to see. And it gave new life to me. I must tell somebody. We must tell somebody. May we be used as an encouraging crowd to cheer people on to a faith in Jesus Christ. So First Baptist Maysville, do you want to see? Do you want to see? Remember, God desires to give spiritual sight to the spiritually blind so that they may see him as Savior and as Lord. So don't be complacent with your condition or your faith. Know the source of your hope and your salvation. Recognize your spiritual blindness and respond to the one who gives perfect sight. Choose to follow him on the way and encourage the lost with that good news. On the backside of your bulletin insert, your notes, there is a brief three-question vision test. And so as we go into our time of response this morning, I would like you to bow your head. You're not going to look at those questions right now, but I'm going to read them to you one at a time. And as your eyes are closed, as your heads are bowed, I would just ask you to consider these questions. First, have your spiritual eyes been opened to receive the gift of salvation? Have your spiritual eyes been opened to receive that gift of salvation? You entered this house of worship this morning knowing whom you have believed in. And perhaps you have that confidence of a saving faith. You know that you have an eternal relationship with him. I hope that that is you. But if it's not, as we get ready to pray in just a moment, as we go into our final hymn of decision and invitation, if your need this morning is to have your spiritual eyes open, it's your desire to receive that spiritual touch from Jesus, the Son of David, that you would spiritually see, I pray that you would make that decision today. A second question, are your eyes focused daily on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith? You may believe that you have a relationship with Christ that was based on a prayer that you prayed or a feeling that you experienced at some time in your past. But are you living daily for him? Are you living daily for him? Maybe this morning your need is just to recommit your life, recognizing that you are his, and yet sometimes you seem to wander off the way. You seem to follow your own path rather than the one that Christ has for you. And then a third question. Are you being used to bring others to the only one who can satisfy and heal them? I challenge you in the days and the weeks ahead to pray for those that are spiritually blind and that God would give you the opportunity to share with them the good news of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to this time in the service this morning, Lord, I pray above all else that each person in this room would just simply be obedient to you. That they would just do that which you would have them to do. And Father, I do pray that if there's any person in this room this morning that they do not have the confidence to know that they are yours, that they are saved, that they are your child, adopted into your heavenly family, Lord, I pray that today that they would make that commitment, that they would receive that gift of salvation, that they would choose to take that pill. Father, for many of us, we recognize our faith and we rejoice in it. And yet, Father, we recognize too that life from day to day is a struggle. And we stumble and we fall. And sometimes we find ourselves wandering down a path that is all wrong. But Father, thank you for being patient. Thank you for loving us and welcoming us back home. Father, I pray that if there's any in this room today, they just need to recommit their life to you, that we would choose to live that verse, that we would take up our cross daily and follow you. And Father, we recognize that we live in a broken world, and there are people that we come into contact with each and every day that need you. Their spiritual eyes are blind. Use us, Father. Use us to pray for them. Use us to speak to them. Use us to encourage them. Use us to invite them. Father, that you would use us to point the spiritually blind to you. Father, we thank you for your word. And my prayer is that this morning that it will not return void, that you would accomplish with it the purpose that you have. As we end this time and as we sing these words, may we just respond in obedience. It's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.